You're listening to the USEA official podcast, which takes you behind the scenes of eventing, covering all the big events, professional tips and tricks, interviews, special guests, and the latest USEA eventing news. Welcome to the USEA official podcast, episode 302. And listeners, we are back. The whole team is back together to look forward to the 2022 season, which is rapidly approaching. I don't know about you, but I absolutely cannot wait. I start to get the tingles, looking for entries lists. I'm stalking Instagram, you name it. Can't wait. I'm getting all sorts of weird looks. But I'm going to start by saying, Dee, welcome back to the show in 2022.
Thank you, Nicole. Good to be here. Looking forward to another big season of excitement around the world, but in particular, of course, in the US.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one. I'm sure it's going to be a good one. We had a lot of excitement last year with the Olympics, but we've got a World Championships this year as well, which is unprecedented. Rob, it is good to have you back on the show again this year. We spoke back end of last year, looking back on the year. I hope that 2022 has been kind to you so far.
So far, it's been fine. Just been busy, and you know, we start our kind of long, endless winter for a little while. But eventing is up and running. We've already had, I think, like six competitions between California and Florida. So we're running.
Up and running. Max, finally, the last one of our fabulous foursome. It is good to have you back with us. And it does feel, I mean, imagine from your perspective that you're kind of ready for those longer days, slightly less mud on the horses, and for things to start to kick into gear again.
Well, yes and no. In some ways, we're up and running. It's been a little bit, you know, I'm going to be whining, but it's been a little chilly in Florida. We've had a couple frosts. I get to go to Rocking Horse on Saturday, and it's going to be a high of 44 with 17-mile-an-hour winds. So, you know, I'd be fine just to wait for a little bit longer before we got kicking off. But at the same time, it'll be interesting. It'll be an adventure.
I'm just looking. Quick Google, listeners. This is, you know, the English-American problem when I come in. What is 44 in English weather speak?
And it's about
pretty cold. Yeah, okay,
or seven.
Six,
yeah,
6 degrees. I can say, yeah, that's pretty cold.
It's not going to be nice. Yeah. But you know, it's a first world problem, quite honestly.
And just, I mean, how nice is it to think, you know, if we rewound the clock 12 months, I mean, 24 months ago, we were all completely none the wiser about what was about to unfold. But even 12 months ago, you know, there was so much uncertainty about what we would be able to do, when we'd be able to do it. It's not all that long until an anniversary of sort of Kentucky disappearing and then coming back onto the calendar again. And it does feel a little bit like we can all just take a breath and go, actually, we're really grateful that we've got this. And it's pretty nice to have it all back together again. Rob, I was looking back at our 2021 preview show, and one of the things that we were talking about was the Safety and Frangible Technology Fund, which obviously has been a huge topic of conversation over the last couple of years, has raised the most extraordinary amount of money. How's it looking at the moment?
Yeah, we continue to receive donations to that fund through the USEA Foundation. We're actually about to have a meeting, I think, in the next week with our committee to plot out the plan for the next year. I think what we're going to do is do a re-energize that fundraising effort, because, I mean, like you said, last year and a little bit before, we ended up distributing, I think, 375 grants. So, you know, we raised over $500,000. We met our goals. You know, it's all thanks to the eventing community. So, you know, super excited about where that can take us from, you know, moving forward as far as moving as many fences as we can to be frangible. So, yeah, looks good.
The question on everybody's lips is John Holling going to get another tattoo / or was that you, Rob? I'm not sure. But the kind of the impetus that has gone into it is just absolutely incredible from so many people. And having those goals actually makes it massively, massively inspiring, because there is something really to strive for. And it must mean so much, Max, when you go to events, and I know you go to lots of different events all over the country, to be able to see the fruits of the labor as such out there.
Absolutely.
In the field.
Yeah, it's kind of fun. I see the little plaque. I'm like, that's us. We did that. You know, it's pretty cool. I mean, we see that and all different types of fences now. And I think now the competitions have more kits than they know what to do with. And it's kind of fun. They're a little giddy about it. So it's, and then, you know, not that you want to see them get used, but when you do as well, you're feeling pretty fortunate that the technology has been there.
That's
and
what
it's great. Exactly. Yeah. You know, people make a small mistake and horses can make a mistake, and it's meant to, you know, obviously stop that and not the bad riding per se, but everybody can make an error. So yeah, it's great. I love seeing them out there. It's great.
And it is growing. I'm sure we're going to see more in 2022 as well. Dee, from your perspective, I know obviously the Equiratings team have been working really, really hard from the risk management side of things. There was a really exciting announcement a week or so ago with the FEI with the introduction of the horse form index as well.
Yeah, it's all part of kind of, I think, what has become known as a Swiss cheese model, and that you're kind of slowly trying to put in place as many different initiatives is the right word, I suppose, together, and to see by putting all these things together, will we be able to, you know, make the sport safer? No one thing will ever do it. You know, it's not just, you know, it's top riders in the world. We see them have falls. We see them have pins. So it's not ever going to be a case of being able to say one thing will do it. But we've added to that is trying to get people to focus on performance. So sometimes it's a case that you're just giving someone a tool at international level. It's horse form index with the FEI, but it's something that we've had working in the US for a number of years now, which is IRCI. And it's trying to help people with a tool to be able to assess the readiness of their horse to step up those levels. It's great to be part of something that's working. And more, Nicole, we're stopping a conversation around risk and we're starting to talk about performance, because they're very, very linked. But I think risk and risk management initiatives kind of feel like someone else's job, someone else's problem. They kind of feel like the stuff that'll get discussed at a board of governors meeting or that at a committee somewhere. But risk and risk management doesn't feel like my job. And I think actually that's not really the case. And everybody gets tuned into performance. So can we try and make this stuff a little bit more tangible for people, which is, you know, if you're having multiple faults at a level, you know, taking a step back, assessing that, and maybe, you know, talking to a trainer or stepping down a level or getting that horse confidence back, getting another pair of eyes on what the issue is. That's all performance. It's not really risk management. It's not a incoherent, nebulous, intangible concept. It's you and your horse out there training and going to events. So I suppose, in addition to trying to provide those ratings, we're now trying to improve our language and improve our messaging to make things a little bit more simple and tangible and understandable.
Yeah, and it's a really good point that actually, you know, we all want to get better. You know, we all, and sometimes just having it in black and white and a tool of saying, well, if you look at this and it says this is what it means. It makes it more objective rather than subjective. And it just gives you either the confidence to say, do you know what I'm doing is working, what I'm doing is right. Or it gives you a little bit of a reality check of saying, actually, do you know what, I'm not quite as ready as I felt I was. And there's actually a great example of that. We've just done a horse form index special on the Equiratings Eventing podcast. And there was a great example of that from Sam Watson talking about a horse that he really, really feels is going to Badminton, ready for Badminton. And actually, you know, he's been working towards that for the last couple of years, but he was looking at his own performance and he gave himself a reality check and said, actually, I've got some work to do. It's not to say it can't be done, but I just need to be very realistic, because we all get caught up in our own bias on occasion as well.
I would also add to that I think when you set the bar high enough and you begin to explain, you know, you begin to give people not necessarily an incentive, but you show people what good looks like. So sometimes what good looks like, you know, and you're talking about, you know, Boyd Martin or Philip or Liz or Tammy, you know, you're seeing people at the very top of the sport and you think that's what good looks like. But actually, it's happening all around us, you know, at novice, at beginner novice, at training level as well, where we're seeing people begin to, like, I would love to be highlighting a little bit more, and we intend to do it this year, but highlighting a little bit more of those runs that people are going on, 3 cross-country clears in a row, 4, 5, 10, like someone like Ryan Wood is coming up year on year, coming into kind of up to like 200 now. I think he's maybe has 1 cross-country fault in his last 200 cross-country outings. Like, that's an incredible level of achievement that doesn't necessarily pick up the headlines of a Michael Young or a Tammy Smith. But 1 cross-country fault in that amount of runs, like, it's supreme cross-country riding. There's so many lessons that we can take from someone like Ryan and his program. And I would love to be trying to show people that that's the bar. Like, obviously, we're not all going to get to that level, but that's what good looks like in terms of cross country. And it isn't just Ryan, of course. It's happening, as I say, at every level and in every area across the US. So highlighting that and making, you know, heroes of that type of performance feels like a better way to manage risk than keeping it in Equiratings databases or in a committee somewhere in some corner of the world.
You have just given me an excellent idea for a future podcast on the USCA official podcast. I've just written, go and talk to Ryan Wood down at the little notepad. Ryan, good. We're coming for you. Listeners, we'll get you his secrets very, very soon. Let's talk a bit about what is coming up over the next few months, because before we head in to the kind of the international season proper, we're going to talk about Kentucky and the AECs and of course, the World Championships in Petone this year. But first of all, Max, it is swiftly approaching that the ICP symposium is returning in Ocala, Florida, very, very shortly.
Yes, yeah. And very soon, I believe it's the, I'm going to get these dates wrong, Rob. I think it's the 7th and 8th or 6th and 7th. It's
eight,
a Tuesday.
8th and 9th.
8th and 9th. That was close. Okay. So Max. It's a Tuesday, Wednesday, and it's the weekend right before the big Ocala horse trials this which works for a lot of people. I think it's at Barnstaple South. Great facility there. They've got everything you need. And in the years past, we found sort of a token instructor to come over and sort of teach people. And we found that model didn't really quite work, because the ICP workshop is meant to be for the instructors to come and learn how to instruct better. And it usually ended up being a lot of people sort of watching a clinic, whether it was someone from Europe, and sometimes there was a language barrier and all that kind of stuff. So the faculty of the ICP program are actually going to be the ones doing the teaching this year, so they can really focus back on the instructors and how to better instruct everything from sports psychology and then just basic management, horsemanship and all that kind of stuff, and really focusing more on the people that are there to listen, where before it was over the years it got a little driven towards the riders in the symposium instead of the people that were the instructors that were there to learn how to instruct better. So it's going to be great. They're going to roll out the new Eventing by the Levels handbook, which is something that they have been working on, the ICP crew has been working on for a couple of years, and it basically tells you what you need to know how to do for every single level. And it's a pretty amazing piece. And they just, and also because parents, like, they don't know when their kids are ready to move up. And there's a lot of adult amateurs that don't know when they're ready to move up. And so hopefully it'll be well attended. It's not very expensive to go to, even if you're ICP certified or not, you can still go. I think you just go on our USCA website and get more information on it.
And actually, that handbook through the levels was the focus of our last podcast, which listeners go back and give it a listen to, because it is just the most incredible piece of work. They have put so much into it. It is just such a brilliant tool to add to your toolbox of improving, whether it be as a coach, whether it be as a rider, a parent, professional, whatever your hat that you wear in the industry, you might wear multiple hats. There is so much good content in it, and being able to access that level of experience from so many people within our industry is just absolutely incredible. Let's talk a little bit about five-star season, because the end of last year, it was one of our big moments of the year, listeners. First US five-star winner since 2008. It is officially done, gone. Rob is
there,
holding
we go.
Your badge or wristband, whatever it was, Rob. But we have obviously got Kentucky coming up this spring. We've got Maryland in the fall as well. So 2 5-stars to look forward to. Can I ask, Rob, from your perspective, obviously it's all sunk in now. You know, we're looking forward to a very, very competitive Kentucky. What are you most looking forward to about 5-stars, 2 5-stars, US soil, hopefully much less uncertainty this year? And you've got a winner in the bag.
Yeah, an American winner. That would be what I'm looking to first. But no, actually bringing the fans back to Kentucky Absolutely. Is the first and foremost. I want to see people. We're already planning to do some things again, like Champions Live at the event this year, which is where we bring in some of the professionals top in the sport, not only eventing, but dressage, show jumping, and get them to interact with the crowd, answer questions. Totally excited about that. But yeah, I mean, and you want me to, you said a winner in the bag? Is that what you said?
Well, no, you've got, you know, it feels like actually there are so many good combinations. We're going to talk about strength and depth now heading into Pretoni in a moment, but there are so many good combinations that actually the fight for US places to go to Pretoni is very much going to be hitting the ground at Kentucky.
That's right. And we're already talking to the Biden administration about, during the month of April, shutting off all immigration, all people coming in from Europe to guarantee a win.
Do you want to know? Do you want some sneaky little inside info? Just, please. I mean, it's not breaking news because you might well have heard it already, but I was talking to Michael Young on the Echo Ratings Eventing podcast before Christmas, and rumor has it, not one, but two horses from his stable could be jetting in. So you might want to get on that.
This is a podcast, so you can't really capture the absolute despair and desolation that like came across Rob and Max's though? Face.
You know what? Friggin' challenge accepted. Bring it. Bring it on, Michael.
That's right.
What do you got for us?
How cool is that? That Michael Young, who's a 3-time Kentucky winner, a former world number one, double Olympic champion, could potentially be bringing the horse that is currently ranked as the best horse in the world on the Echo Ratings Eno.
Minus one pin.
No, I think I can give you something cooler. I think Rob is right. You know, I actually was going to go with the competition first, but I think Rob is right. I think it's going to be a hugely emotional competition anyway. We as an eventing community have certain touch points around the year where we all come together at a national level. You know, we go to our own shows in our areas, and then there is the art, like in the UK, it's badminton. In Germany, it's Le Moulin. In Australia, it's Adelaide. And Maryland obviously joins the picture now as a 5-star, but for many years, Kentucky has been, you know, the leading light in terms of trying to come together as a community. So number one, we'll have that. Number two, I think you're touching on it, Nicole. We don't just have, you know, a former 3-time winner in Michael Young arriving back, likely, I expect, going up against, you know, the current world number one and multiple Kentucky winner in Oliver Townend, you know, so you've got that head to head. I think you've an even cooler story. I think you've got Julia Krajewski potentially arriving as an Olympic champion. It's been a while since that's happened, but I think you've got the first female Olympic champion flying into Kentucky to take on 2 3-time winners in Michael and Oliver. And you know what's even cooler? That horse that you're talking about, the world number one, you know, the best horse in the world right now, Fisher Chipmunk for Michael Young, she produced him. I think she's going up against her compatriot and she's the Olympic champion and Michael is a 3-time winner and we're not even talking about the world number one. And that's not even talking about the home challenge. They're all super stories, really cool that like a global, you know, a really brilliant piece of sporting entertainment is going to play out at the first big, you know, major event of the year, which is going to be in Kentucky. And then you add an incredibly strong US lineup. We've talked about it in loads of different ways. They're getting better. They're getting better. Who's going to arrive? Which of their horses is going to step forward? You know, we saw kind of times when we hit the crossbar with, say, Boyd and Setzer like a couple of years ago. They got down to that, you know, 28 type score and came second. I feel like there's like, you know, someone like Tammy has the potential to start really low and will absolutely bring it to all those people. And I think if you look across the board, what's happened, I mean, you've an Aachen winner in there as well for Will Coleman, coming off the back of what would probably be a strong Carolina you expect for him, and how that form translates into five star. There's loads of really strong US stories outside of the fact that they're all fighting for a place at the World Games. I love that we're going to have not just the fans and the emotional return, but I think you'll have one of the best ever Kentuckys in terms of the quality of performance that we're going to see on show.
I feel like that was just a mic drop moment. Like, I genuinely feel like actually we can't underestimate how tough that competition will be, and the fans that will be there, that will be so excited to be at Kentucky, will be able to get a front row seat to it all. I'll tell you where else we are looking forward to going in 2022, Rob, and that is the AECs, which are at one of the most beautiful eventing venues in the whole world, at Rebecca Farm this year.
That's right. So August 30th to September 4th will be at Rebecca Farm for the first time ever with the American Eventing Championships and the Adult Team Championship. So pretty spectacular. I mean, Max knows it's such a privilege to be able to go there and like look at the mountains in the distance. And I mean, it's just an amazing venue. And I know we're going to have one of our largest starter numbers on record. It probably won't bust Kentucky, but I think it'll be a pretty high up there, which is special for a Western U.S. American Eventing Championships.
And then we get to talk about the fact that there is another championships this year, because normally we have a sort of a break in U.S. eventing in theory, but of course with Tokyo moving a year, it means that all eyes go to the World Championships in Protone in Italy, which is a really hilly, twisty, turny, tough track. It's very, very exciting as to see how it is going to unfold. Obviously, last year, you know, it was a real breakthrough, I would say, in terms of the second half of the year. There were some brilliant US performances, the win at Aachen, the five-star win, some very, very good five-star performances actually at Maryland with the likes of Jenny Brannigan putting in a very, very solid performance there. So obviously things are a little bit up in the air at the moment in terms of the high performance positions, and I'm sure that work will be done on that. I think, Max, there's a new task force looking to sort of get things moving in appointing a new team to go to the helm in the build-up to Protone.
Yeah, absolutely. I think the press release went out last week about a group of people that are being put together to sort of help redirect eventing high performance. And it's probably not a bad thing in talking to some of the higher-ups at the USCF that the other disciplines might just sort of have the same thing, even though they've been very successful, sport changes and whatever, you know, the focus changes from time to time. So it's not a bad thing to sort of to check back in and get everything sort of going into the right, down the right road. So I think there's a decision whether there's going to be a coach or just a chef or someone that can maybe do both, and lots of work to be done. But again, it's like, you know, even though, you know, close one door, open the next. So we'll see what happens.
And there's a very, very exciting team of horses and riders. You know, the combinations that went out to Tokyo, Philip Dutton has some really, really nice horses coming through his string to back up Z as well. Boyd Martin obviously has On Cue, who's a five-star winner, but also the likes of Luke 140, who should be back this year, who was so impressive and was his original pick for Tokyo. But Jenny Brannigan, Tammy Smith, the list goes on in terms of really good riders putting in very, very good, solid performances. They had some great Nations Cup results at the end of last year. So excitement is very much building, I think, having had what we hope will be an epic showdown in Kentucky in the spring to go into the World Championships. Can I ask you, before we wrap up this show, for one prediction around something to do with high performance, whether it could be a Kentucky winner, a Maryland winner, a horse that will break onto the championship scene this year. Give us something that, you know, listeners, you've got my back here. You know that all that's going to happen is that we'll get to November and I'm going to be regurgitating these clips going, did we get it right? No, have we got it right? Let's talk about it. Let's come up with some. Dee, I know you love it / hate it when I put these kinds of questions on you. So get the ball rolling.
I think the US will win a medal in Pertoni. I think it'll be great for the, you know, whoever's in charge. We all are like that as sports fans, because I think whoever comes in will get the US are on the up. They've been on the up for a couple of years now. And it's actually happening at a time when some of the other high performance programs around the world, I wouldn't say are on the down, because that could get me in trouble, but they're on the down. Like, you know, it just happens in terms of groups of horses and when they come together with the right riders. And a lot of this is chance. And right now, the US have a really good selection of riders and horses. And some of the other nations, in some cases, like, they've got loads of horses, but they're all ridden by the same few people, which means they can only take one of them to the championship, which means from a team point of view, now that we're back in a world championship where we'll have four people on a team and three counting scores rather than the three from three, which we saw in Tokyo, I think the US are just in a really good place with the group they have and the timing of where everyone else is. I think they will win a medal. And I would just say that I think it will be the culmination of probably 5 years of work rather than 5 months of work. And I mean that for the riders and the coaches. I think there is it's been building for a while. So when the US go and do well this summer, I would say, yes, get excited, but don't lose sight of all of the hard work over. And I mean that over 5 years. It isn't just the most recent administration. Things have been changing in the US for some time now, and we've been working towards this. I think it's going to be a good summer for the US.
Okay, that was bold. I like that. Right, Max, you go.
I think a horse that we might see that is a bit of a, I think, not a dark horse because she's a gray, is the lovely mare of that Global X of Hallie Coons. I just love her. She's a ripper. She was very, very impressive at Buccalo. And the other one that I will say is going to be, even though it's a young horse, who might not do much this year, but one for us to keep an eye on is the mare of Tammy Smith's called California. And she was very, 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 very good there. That was fun. I think it's going to be hard to tell. There's a lot of horses that are coming back off of injury to see what they're going to do, hopefully. But I think there's, like, and following up what Dee said, that I think not having a coach right now for the U.S. team might not be the worst thing in the world, because everybody can go out and seek who it is that works for them really well and not have to worry about riding with the one said coach. Not to say that he wasn't excellent, but it at the same time, it's making the riders really responsible for having to take care of themselves. So I think that will be good. I don't know if we're going to quite be ready for a medal, but I'm hoping we are. I think we're going to be pretty close.
Okay. Rob?
High performance prediction. All right. Well, I'm not going to try to give you a dark horse, because Max is too, she's too much boots on more boots on the ground than I am. So, like, I'd be giving you the name of a horse from 3 years ago and still probably get it wrong. So I'm going to say I did prep myself to say who I think will be the top WEG pair.
Well, then, you can give us that. Okay. That's okay.
All right. I think I got super inspired watching Tammy Smith's, if you go on her website or social media page, Stephen Peters did a drone footage of her conditioning in the hills of California. And it's like, I got so inspired that Tammy's coming with a vengeance this year. Her and My Bomb are going to, like, tear it up. She is angry.
She's got stuff to prove.
She is
She's
angry.
Gonna be like, you left this off the team. I'm going to show you.
She is angry. Yeah. So, yeah, there you go. Yeah. That's my top US pair. Boyd and his owners are going to be really mad at me for saying that, but I love them too. But Tammy is spitting fire right now.
I will say, okay, on cue though, I'll tell you, if she's doing her thing and she loves Boyd, and she's just proven over and over and over again to be tough and awesome, and there's not a lot. It's going to slow that one down. She doesn't have much to prove. She doesn't need to run a lot this year, but I'd put her as our top.
What I love about that bit, Max, is as soon as you start talking about On Cue and My Bomb, it almost feels like, oh my God, we've set a name, because now, like, how can you really leave that conversation without talking about, like, Liz is going to be back with De Niro Z, hopefully, and like De Niro Z probably hasn't been in the picture, talking points, but was like, what, one competition away pretty much from being likely having a major role to play in Tokyo last summer, and how the story changes. Once you name one of them, and this is why I think it's so exciting for the US at a high performance level right now, we haven't always been here. Like, there's four of us sitting, smiling at each other, naming horse after horse after horse.
Yeah,
agree completely on that one. And I think that is, we are literally, listeners, if you could see the four of us, we are like four Cheshire cats, just grinning, going, oh my goodness, this, you know, there is so much to look forward to. Okay, I am going to say that I'm going on the horse front. So I think there will be, okay, I'm going to do two things. One, I think there will be a podium finish for a US rider, not on US soil, at a 5-star. So
that,
there you go.
Well, we've got, because badminton's back in Llewellyn, and we've got American riders going to all of it. Yeah,
Hurley and Poe. And I say there will be a US rider on the podium.
Normally, Nicole, you go for very conservative predictions. And that is a massive one. I mean, that is hard. Off the top of my head, I think that has happened 3 times in 10 years.
Twice, I think. Three times. Sorry, Boyd did it in Llewellyn, didn't he?
Boyd did it with Shamwari.
Yeah, then Sinead Halpin did it at Burley back in, I think, 2012, Manoir de Carnville. And then Ariel Grohl did it at Llewellyn last year.
Correct.
Liam O'Malley. Was she third?
It Llewellyn? She did it. She definitely did it.
So that would make it 3 times in the last 10 years.
And you think it's going to happen in 2022?
Yeah, I do.
I like that.
Okay. I like your bravery with that prediction.
I've got two horses that I'm going to give little mentions to as well, that I think that will be ones to watch this year. Possibly not championship horses this year, because I think they're not yet proven at the 5-star level. One being a horse coming through that stepped up the 4-star level last year, Chin Tonic of Will Coleman's.
Oh, yeah.
He really, really likes that horse. And that is a horse that is very, very good in the first phase as well. So can really mix it in the low numbers in the dressage. And the other one being Lynn Szymanski's RF Coldplay. Because we really waited for that combination's 5-star debut last year. They won a team medal at the Pan American Games a few years ago. And we were really waiting for that 5-star debut, and it wasn't to be at Kentucky. They withdrew after dressage. And so I'm really looking forward to seeing what they can do this year. So there you go.
Gotta get Lynn healthy.
That is my two. Yes. Okay. Right. Predictions done.
I can make one more.
Go on then.
Make one more. Can I?
Yeah.
This is the end. I think high performance is great. I think the US going to, go to those overseas 5-stars and do really well, it's great. But you know, when you actually get down to the nitty gritty, I'm looking for a superstar to come out of the kind of novice area, Nicole, beginner, novice, and novice. And I think I have identified some. Now, I don't want this to sound like a Nicole prediction, because you're going to say you are putting up like someone who's already won the novice intercollegiate rider of the year in Katie Suchek. You're going to put her up and you're going to come and say you're putting up a star. She's got a horse right now called Suspicious Behavior. And I mean, there's a couple of them at these levels that are just absolutely flying it. But I just think, they had 13 runs in 2022, 2 wins, 1 at Ocala, 1 at Rocking Horse. But they had 10 top 10s, and they were just finishing on their dressage score time after time after time. And the same with Alyssa Cairo and a horse called Paddington. Ran 17 times, never had a cross-country jumping fault, really low scores in the dressage, 23s, 24s, pretty much all across that time, did 6 wins, and they had 4 seconds. Like 17 runs, and 10 of them are first or second, all at that, you know, beginner, novice, and novice area. It's a really interesting part of the sport. But both Paddington for Alyssa and Suspicious Behavior for Katie, I think keep an eye on those two. I think there's going to be a lot of talk from me primarily about those two horses this year.
Okay.
It's hard to win at that level. It's really hard to win at that level.
The thing that stands out for me is you mentioned a little bit earlier on Ryan Wood and his incredible cross-country record. You know, it's hard to do it across the levels. And so to champion those kinds of streaks and those kinds of performances are really, really important.
It's hard. It's hard not just to get, I mean, we're talking about, you know, if you're talking about Paddington there and 17 cross-country jumping clears there in 2021. As Max says, at that level, there's a lot less cross-country jumping faults, which means to win at that level, whether you agree with this or not, you've got to do really good dressage. The fields tend to be big, so you've no room for error. If you have a pull down, you're probably out of contention. It becomes pretty much like the top level of a 4-star short. Big fields with no room for error. So for people to be going to those events and consistently doing it, I think is as impressive as doing it up the level. So yeah, for me, there's a few down there who I think we should be really trying to keep our focus on in 2022.
I noticed Dee's staying away from the intercollegiate championships again this year because
it's not done.
A little secret. I have been in touch with the team at Auburn. And they have provided me with quite a lot of merch. And since probably about the middle of last year, I have been going to bed, not every night, but a lot of nights, wearing an Auburn t-shirt. You know, it's quite garish. Denise doesn't love it. It's a lot of orange on it. Yeah, it's quite orange. I also got pom-poms, mainly used by the child, but every day, there is some reference to Auburn in my life. And if I haven't talked about it during the day, I get into bed at night in an Auburn t-shirt. So they've gone, but they're very much just bubbling under the surface, waiting for me to press the button again.
I mean, listeners, you can chalk that up to things that you did not expect to learn about on today. What a vision. On that note, we are going to leave it there. Dee, if you could see him now, listeners, Dee is actually blushing. There is a hint of rose to his Irish
orange
complexion. Look, it has been a pleasure as always, team. We're really looking forward to 2022. Listeners, we hope you are too. Feel free to get in touch at US Venting. Send us your predictions as well. We would love to hear from you. And we have got loads more coming up for you over the next few months as well. So do stay tuned. But Max, Rob, Dee, thank you all very much. Listeners, thank you for listening. And we'll be back very soon with more.
Thanks for listening to the USEA official podcast. If you have any suggestions or feedback, then we would love to hear from you. Get in touch through any of our social media platforms at US Eventing, and don't forget to subscribe on your preferred podcast platform to make sure you don't miss an episode.